Welcome to Geopolitical Horizons, the podcast hosted by Geopolity. Today we want to look at three wars that are currently aging at the moment. After 4 weeks of war, has the US been defeated by Iran? And is this why Trump has sent his proposal to the Iranians to end this war? If you haven't been watching, a new war is raging in Lebanon. Smotrich, the Israelis' far-right finance minister, said the Litani must be our new border with the state of Lebanon. And in South Asia, despite an Eid ceasefire, the war has escalated again between Pakistan and Afghanistan, firing at each other again. We will be looking at all of these three conflicts in today's short podcast. And here to help us navigate through everything is Geopolity founder Adnan Khan. Hope you're well, Adnan.
I'm good, Imran. How are you?
Yes, very good, very good. Before we begin, I want to remind all our avid listeners that you can find us on all the major social media platforms where you can subscribe and never miss anything. So Adnan, let's jump into the first war, the Iran war. It's now been over 4 weeks since the US-Israel alliance launched their war against Iran. Is it safe to say that the US has lost?
Yeah, you're right. It's been 4 weeks, and this is not what victory looks like. Victory should look very differently. Victory should look like the regime has capitulated. Victory should look like the regime is asking for talks and negotiations. Victory should look like the regime surrendering. That's clearly not happening here. Despite what Trump, Hexef, and Rubio keep saying, how well the war's going, the whole world, the Israeli military leaders and the American military leaders are all saying the same thing. They're not winning here. In fact, Iran is still firing missiles, is still firing drones. And these drones and missiles are getting more and more accurate. They're still attacking American bases and the other Gulf countries in the region. This actually is how losing a war looks like. This is not how winning a war looks like. And we've got to keep in mind, for Iran, victory is just not losing. For America, victory is all the things they said. We're going to overthrow the regime. We're going to destroy the regime. We're going to stop the nuclear program and the ballistic missile program. If they don't achieve any of these, or if they don't do the action that indicate that these have been stopped, then Iran has basically won. So 4 weeks in, they're not any close to winning. And I think that's why we've seen some new developments. You know, we've seen some talk about terms to negotiate over. And there's talk even about ground troops being sent in, which I'm sure we're going to cover.
Yes. But can a war be won in 4 weeks?
Well, Trump would claim that's what he did in Venezuela. He won that in probably a day and a half, a day or so. You're right. If you look at the size of Iran, if you look at the grandiose objectives that were constantly put out to the people, that they're going to overthrow the regime, they're going to capitulate the regime, the people are going to rise up. You know, that's obviously was always going to take more than 4 weeks. But I think the main thing everyone's looking at is people still remember the Iraq and Afghan debacles. You know, these conflicts went on for 2 decades, despite America claiming mission was accomplished. And we're seeing the same thing again, really, in Iran. What's really happened is everything Trump hoped, everything he assumed, the opposite has materialized. The people will rise up, didn't materialize in the end. They will decapitate the regime. They have decapitated certain individuals who have disappeared. Regimes are still continued. They're going to destroy or put back the nuclear and ballistic missile program. They've not got any closer. In fact, what we're seeing is more and more missiles being more and more accurate, going towards Tel Aviv, going towards Qatar, going towards UAE, going towards Kuwait, going towards Saudi Arabia. So yeah, whilst 4 weeks is too early, definitely the war isn't going in the direction any military general would want it to. And that's why I think Trump, he's really looking to save face now. This is actually affecting his poll ratings. It's affecting his MAGA base. And he's just created his own problem, really.
The US has sent Iran a 15-point plan to end this war. And this was hand-delivered by General Asim Munir, the Pakistani army chief. And I think the question that comes to mind is, what should we make of all this?
The message or the image we're getting from America is Iran's begging for these, Iran's begging for talks, and America has capitulated or destroyed Iran. And really, this is like the surrender document, a bit like what the West did in World War II when they gave the terms to the Germans. The reality here is, and everybody can see it, it's the US in the weaker position. It's the US who needs an off-ramp. And when we look at these proposals, it's the same old stuff again. Nuclear program, ballistic missiles, proxy. So in the last year and a half, we've had two wars with Iran. You've had two sets of talks with Iran. And we're basically back to where we started all over again. And it begs the question, what is the point of the wars when actually what you're putting for discussion, what you're putting for negotiation is the same old stuff? That Iran has categorically rejected the terms. In fact, they actually said there's no talks taking place. What's Trump talking about? In fact, they say Trump is talking to himself, maybe. And it's quite interesting because Trump did say, we're not sure who to talk to because they keep killing everyone that they're talking to. So it does really beg the question, are they really even talking to anybody or are they just making it out? Because remember, this regime was supposed to capitulate. The masses were supposed to rise up. That hasn't happened. So Trump has to save face. And what you're seeing now is they put some proposals out there. I'm sure with time, these proposals eventually will turn into talks. However, there's no need for Iran to talk. Iran's exporting more oil. Iran is getting more revenues from exporting oil. Iran is getting more goods from China. The Russians and the Japanese are now saying they're prepared to pay Iran to go into the Straits of Hormuz. There is no reason whatsoever for Iran to actually start talking. And why should they? Twice they were talking to America. What did America do? They launched an assault. So this is a big, big problem for America. It's a big, big problem for Trump. And remember, when talks were going on previously, America launched strikes. When negotiations were going on, they launched strikes. And even when Trump sent these proposals via Pakistan, they're already moving troops into the region. So it really begs the question, is this just a cover for another onslaught?
And I think another thing that this war and the US has actually helped Iran do is bring the people together. So, you know, those who were against the government at one stage, they're actually with the government now. So if, you know, they've all kind of united against the bigger devil, if you want to call it, US, and things internally seem to be quite settled in that sense. You know, I think the next question that kind of comes to mind is Israel. Israel's the one who has pretty much dragged the US into this war, but, you know, literally hole in its hand. And it's kind of left it out, you know, hung to dry. So where does Israel fit in?
So Israel and America started the onslaught 4 weeks ago together. But what you find very quickly, once Hezbollah started firing at Israel, Israel now is completely focused on taking over the south of Lebanon. So although they're still carrying out some strikes in Iran, but remember, Iran is, what, 800 to 1,000 miles away from Israel. Israel needs aerial refueling from America to do this. So actually, it's been about a week or two now where the heavy lifting's all now being done by America. Israel's completely focused on Lebanon and obviously still fighting in Gaza and the West Bank as well. It's Israel. We now know it was actually Netanyahu who hoodwinked Trump into this war. He managed to convince Trump, and he managed Trump only got the opinion that Iran is weak, the people hate the regime, and if we go in, it's going to capitulate. So clearly, you know, Trump's been hoodwinked and he's completely messed this up. And the ideal for Israel would be is you completely destroy Iran, you create chaos in the region. America does the heavy lifting. So for them, they'd want this to continue. They'd want America not to negotiate with Iran. They'd actually want America to keep on bombing. But obviously, you know, America and Israel are two separate countries. America has its own objectives. And has Trump learned his lesson that he's got into a war that he really shouldn't have got into? So Israel would prefer these negotiations go nowhere. There's a very good chance that Israel will even try to scupper these negotiations if they get into their conclusion. But these negotiations and these terms, they've only been put out there now. I think it's going to take a few weeks of back and forth before they actually physically sat down and start talking about them. Iran will put its terms forward as well. Iran's already saying that American bases have to go. Iran has to be compensated for what's happened for the last month. And Iran gets to keep its nuclear program and its ballistic missile program. And because Iran's in a stronger position, it can actually impose this. So Iran can always just walk away from these talks and say, we'll continue to do what we're doing. they're in a stronger position. And as oil prices now, you know, one thing we'll keep in mind that the Straits of Hormuz have been closed for a month now.
Yep.
It takes about a month for tankers to get from the Straits of Hormuz to Europe and Asia. So the last tankers that left the Straits of Hormuz with oil, they're now getting people's pumps in Europe and Asia. So from next week onwards, that's when the Straits of Hormuz was closed. There's no more oil. So price is going to start to go up. Anything linked to oil is going to start to go up. It's going to start affecting the global economy. And pressure is going to start building on Trump. You're going to find his own allies. His lackeys are all going to start putting pressure that we need to end this war. And really, he's going to end up in negotiations where he doesn't really have the upper hand. So, you know, for Israel, they would rather this continues. But there's just too many things against this continuing. And the main thing is you're not winning. The regime isn't about to capitulate. The regime isn't about to fall. And there's no mass uprising. So really, you know, this is only going in one direction. And it's not in the direction that's in favor of Israel and America.
Those who surround Trump, you know, they are either loyal to him or they are there purely to massage his ego. They're not there to give him the facts and figures by the sounds of it. You know, what we're hearing from outsiders is America's losing, but in the eyes of Trump and his cronies, we're, you know, they think that they're actually that they're actually winning. In terms of sending, you know, ground troops to Iran, I can't see it, or I can't picture it myself, because I think at the moment there's 50,000, maybe 60,000 that are nearby Iran, which is not near enough to, you know, take over any country, especially the size of Iran. Do you think US will be, you know, eventually sending in ground troops into Iran?
So I think they eventually will send in ground troops, but the ground troops are purely going in for Trump to save face. There's no strategic goals there. There's no long-term objective. It's purely, we screwed this up. So how do we reverse it? How do I, as Trump, save face? This isn't the Iraq
essentially
war.
Cannon fodder.
Yeah, this isn't the Iraq war, Afghan war. We're going to go and occupy. There's long-term objectives. Whatever we thought of those objectives, there were long-term objectives. Yeah, they were pie in the sky, but they were nevertheless objectives. Here are what you've got. There's no long-term objective. That's why we keep hearing different goals. We're going to decapitate the regime. We're going to support an uprising. We're going to deal with the nuclear program, ballistic missile program. It constantly changed. Then we hear, oh, Israel was going to go in and Iran would have responded. So we've gone in because of them. So they keep chopping and changing. So already you've got a couple of aircraft carriers that are taking Marines to the region. So I think more are arriving next week. But for the moment, for my calculations, around 10 to 15,000 troops, Marines, on paper have been committed at the moment. Now, exactly what they're going to do, I mean, some of this, I mean, it's not just laughable, it's just really silly. There's talk of taking over the Karg Island. So this is an island about 20 miles off mainland Iran. And because Iran's waters are shallow, the big tankers, they come to this island and the island's connected to the mainland via a subsea cable. So all of Iran's oil, it goes through this massive pipe and the tank has come up. So America's thinking, we're going to take it over. But Iran's been firing missiles and drones at you. So these are standoff weapons. Iran could be on the other side of its country next to Pakistan and still fire at this island. So if you're going to send 5 to 15,000 troops, they're going to be sitting ducks. If your plan is to take over the coastal areas, again, Iran doesn't need to fight you hand-to-hand combat. It will send drones and it will send missiles. So it just doesn't even make sense. And you'd think, surely they can't be thinking to do this. But Trump is trying to save face. That's what's going on here. And that's why you're seeing now in America. And it'd be interesting because if body bags start going back, now I'm sure Israel and Trump will argue we've got to send in more troops. And, you know, here we go. We've been there before, haven't we? Let's send in more troops to try and achieve what the previous troops didn't actually achieve. So let's see how it turns out. But for the moment, the only two strategies that seems to be coming out from America is we massively increase bombing and we send these Marines in. There's no other strategy on the table at the moment. And keep in mind, all the other strategies have been tried. Decapitation, regime overthrow, get the Kurds. That's all been tried and it's already failed.
Do you think the you know, the neighboring countries to Iran that are the allies or so-called allies of America, they'll be sending in their troops to help out America, the likes of Saudi, the likes of Qatar.
There's two things here, really. I don't think they will, and there's two reasons for that. I think one, what they'd rather do is give America airspace, give America base if they need it. In terms of them going in, look, these countries might have state-of-the-art equipment that they've bought, but their armies, and I'm going to be blunt, are actually pretty useless. If anything, if they're going, they'll get in the way. They're not very capable. In fact, most of the air forces in the region, they refuse to fly any mission without American help. And this is why America was really unhappy with the Saudi invasion of Yemen that went on for 5 years, because the pilots refused to fly themselves with Saudi communication and Saudi organization. What they want is for the Americans to manage it, and they do a bit of the heavy lifting. So yeah, from that perspective, I doubt it very, very much. Also, I don't think, you know, Iran's very popular at the moment because of what they're doing. You know, many have put Syria to the side, what Iran did, and they're quite happy what's going on. So, you know, if the rulers want to lose their public opinion and the sentiment on the street, this would be the way to do it. What you're seeing with the surrounding rulers is they're all pushing for negotiations. They're pushing Trump. Let's try and wrap this up. Can you wrap it up? Secretly, MBS is saying to America, continue. Can you bomb Iran as hard as you can? Because it basically serves them in the long run, a weak Iran. But their ideal is, let's get some sort of negotiation, because you've got wider implications here. The oil is affecting oil price, fertilizer prices, food prices. This is going to affect the public. So Iran, the actions it's done, it doesn't require it to go toe-to-toe with America. The action it's doing, closing the streets of Hormuz, is going to hurt the whole world, and that's going to put pressure on America. And don't forget, yeah, a month ago, Israel and America unilaterally launched this attack. Talks were going on. This is not Iran who launched it. America and Israel launched it unilaterally in the middle of talks, and it's turned out to be a complete disaster.
We did do a podcast on Iran. Link is on the screen. Adnan, let's move on to the Lebanon war. Israel has now sent a third division into Lebanon and is talking about a longer occupation. What happened to the ceasefire agreement that was in place, and why has Israel restarted the war?
Yeah, so because of Iran, no one's really watching this war that's going on in Lebanon. And I think it's important, there was a ceasefire put in about 2 years ago. When the October 7th happened, Israel was worried that Hezbollah would open up a front in the south of Lebanon and the north of Israel. So what Israel did was they relocated hundreds of thousands of people further south into Israel in order to protect them. Then eventually Israel went into the south of Lebanon, and effectively they were fighting on two fronts. So Israel was always worried that Hezbollah could open up a new front when they were dealing with Gaza. So eventually, a year after October 7th, America and some of the regional countries, they agreed a ceasefire between Hezbollah and the Lebanese government on one side and Israel on the other side. Israel very slowly left the south of Lebanon. And when they left, what we saw was they'd completely decimated the south of Lebanon. They'd literally like destroyed whole towns, like bombed them and completely flattened them. The other thing Israel also did is it kept positions on about five hilltops, which effectively you could say are military bases, and they've refused to leave these, which was an indicator that they don't want to leave. They want to actually remain. Since that ceasefire, I mean, we're calling it a ceasefire, Israel's continued bombing the south of Lebanon. It's continued bombing the rest of Lebanon. Hezbollah has been, they've been forced to agree to a ceasefire, which means they've got to put down their arms. The Lebanese have been told, you've got to put down their arms. The Israelis have continued to bomb Lebanon, and they keep hiding behind, we're targeting Hezbollah, we're targeting terrorist targets. But what kind of ceasefire is it where one side continues to bomb? Now, I think the important thing is the reason why the war has restarted is because Israel has for long had its eyes on Lebanon. They're calling it, we need a security zone. We need a buffer zone. And rather than the buffer zone being in Israel itself, what they want is another country effectively gives up that territory. So there's a big distance between that country and Israel. So what Israel's done now is they've gone into Lebanon. They've gone up to the Litani River, which is about 20 miles into Lebanon. And they've actually gone even further now, about 30 miles into Lebanon. And effectively, they want to annex that territory. They want all that territory to be a buffer zone. Nobody from Lebanon lives there. And the Israelis basically set up observation posts, military bases. So that now means that when the Israelis return to the north of Israel, there's no one in close proximity that could potentially bomb them. So effectively, Israel's broke the ceasefire again and again and again, and it was just waiting to do this. So when America and Israel launched their war in Iran, Hezbollah launched missiles, and now Israel's on a complete war footing now in Lebanon. They're at war. Hezbollah is firing against them again. So really, the war in Lebanon has ended, and you're seeing people have lost their homes. People are going to lose their homes. And this is the actual war Israel is pouring resources into now. The war with Iran, what you're finding, that's mainly their air force. Their ground troops are completely now focused towards Lebanon.
The Lebanese government, for the first time in history, has called for direct talks with Israel. Why do you think they are doing this?
So part of the ceasefire agreement that was made 2 years ago was that the Lebanese government needs to run the whole country, not Hezbollah. And the Lebanese government needs to take the arms of Hezbollah. So the Lebanese government is the army, they are the state. This was one of the unsaid things. And what's been going on is they've been really pushing the Lebanese government that you have to disarm Hezbollah. Now, physically, they can't. Hezbollah is too powerful. And in the past, Hezbollah has also been part of the government as well. So one of the reasons they've started direct talks is Israel's completely decimating them. Israel's completely bombing them. If you remember a few years back, there was a pool explosion in Beirut. Yep. The country since then has never recovered. The country is an economic crash. In effect, there's been state failure in this country. So what they think is by directly talking to Israel, maybe this will lead to some sort of positive outcome. But the Israelis are demanding that you have to disarm Hezbollah. Until you don't disarm Hezbollah, we're not going to stop the bombing, and we're not going to leave those southern areas that we've actually taken over. What this is doing is going to cause a divide, because Hezbollah has said, anyone who directly negotiates with Israel when Israel is bombing us, you're a traitor. You know, this is like you're at war and someone in your team starts talking to the enemy without being authorized centrally. So this is causing more and more tension within Lebanon. But the Lebanese government is just not strong enough. I mean, it's silly to ask them to disarm Hezbollah. They physically do not have the capability. And even if they try to do it, you're going to get a civil war in this country.
Do you think Israel's going to be able to annex southern Lebanon then?
So Israel's going to do what they did in Gaza. They are going to bomb it, make it unlivable. I think the problem they're going to face is it's not really the American agenda that Lebanon should be annexed. America doesn't have a problem supporting Israel in targeting Hezbollah. It doesn't have a problem bombing Lebanon for security and national security purposes. For Israel to permanently now occupy and take a chunk of land, which is what Smotrich is saying, which is what Israel Katz, the defense minister, is saying, that they actually want to take over 20% of Lebanese territory. So they want to annex it. And this is the Israeli agenda. The Israeli agenda is to increase their territory, whether it's Syria, whether it's the West Bank, whether it's in the Sinai, and whether it's in the north in Lebanon as well. So I think they're going to attempt to do it, but I think they're going to run into issues. I mean, just today, the former Israeli general, he said that Israel's military is completely overstretched. They're fighting in Gaza, they're fighting in Lebanon, they're fighting in the West Bank, they're fighting against Iran, they're fighting in Syria. Like, they're completely overstretched. And, you know, basically what effectively he was saying is we're at breaking point. How many wars are we actually going to fight? So I think Israel will prefer to annex it, but I think they're going to fall short of that. I think what will happen is the international community will be against that. But what they'll do is maybe they'll get less than the 20% of the territory. But none of that's taken into account is whatever they occupy, Hezbollah will make it hell for them. That's what Hezbollah did to them in the 80s and the 90s. It's what they did to them in 2006. So it's not a foregone conclusion that Israel's going to go in and take it militarily. Israel will try to take it. Israel will carry out massacres. It will destroy the territory. And it will continue bombing into mainland Lebanon as well. However, I think annexing it is going to be too much even for the international community.
Let's move on to the final war that we want to discuss today, Pakistan and Afghanistan. They've resumed the war after a ceasefire agreement that took place for Eid. Adnan, both of these nations are at war. They've, as far as I know, they've been long-term allies. Why are they both at war?
So one reason, really, they're at war because Pakistan feels they are losing control of the Taliban and therefore they're losing control of Afghanistan. So yes, they were allies during the Soviet invasion. They were allies during the 1990s. Pakistan then sided with America during America's invasion. Pakistan then played a double game where it supported both sides. When the Taliban came back into power in 2021, a lot of the talks and negotiations were organized by Pakistan. But what Pakistan has been watching is, firstly, the Taliban today consists of many individuals who are not close to Pakistan. In fact, many Taliban officials have seen that Pakistan's unreliable. We can't trust it. So Taliban officials now regularly go to Beijing, they go to Tehran, they go to Moscow, and Pakistan has felt it's really losing control. And the final nail in the coffin was, at the end of last year, the foreign minister of Afghanistan, he visited Delhi, India. And that was the final straw. And that's why you, since then, Pakistan has upped the ante. Pakistan's carried out drone strikes. And Pakistan is basically saying, you are giving sanctuary to the Tehrik-e Taliban. And they keep repeating it again and again. And they refuse to even sit down and negotiate and talk. So Pakistan is being really unreasonable. And they're the ones really taking this war to Afghanistan.
A name that's been popping up quite a bit is Tehrik-e Taliban. What's their role in this war?
So the Tehrik-e Taliban, they emerged from the tribal areas along the border of Pakistan and Afghanistan. And what you find is America wanted Pakistan during its invasion of Afghanistan. It wanted Pakistan to ensure that the tribal areas don't give support to the Taliban. Because this is something America did during the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. So what Pakistan did, they made deals with the tribal areas, but then eventually they started carrying out operations because the tribal areas, as far as they were concerned, Afghanistan are our brothers, and if they're being invaded, we have to help them. So what Pakistan did was they carried out operations where they massacred villages, women, children, elderly. So what these tribes did, they basically got together, and what came from that was the Tehrik-e Taliban, who started carrying out an insurrection against Pakistan. So as far as they're concerned, you massacred us for America, therefore, we're at war with you. So what the Tehrik-e Taliban do is they've carried out attacks against Pakistani bases, against Pakistani military targets. There's a lot of attacks that have been associated with them, but the evidence is highly questionable. So there's been attacks in Pakistan where the Pakistani regime says this is Tehrik-e Taliban attack, but there's serious question marks over these. Because it's in Pakistan's interest to label the Tehrik-e Taliban as the enemy of Pakistan. So when the Taliban came into power, the Tehrik-e Taliban have a good relationship with the Afghan Taliban. So Pakistan accused the Taliban in Afghanistan of giving them sanctuary. And what the Taliban said in Afghanistan is, why can't we all just sit together and sort this out? And Pakistan has been really, really unreasonable. It refuses to negotiate. All it's saying is you have to effectively kick out the Tehrik-e Taliban. And other than that, there's no talks and no negotiations. So Pakistan's been carrying out artillery strikes. It even sent drones into Kabul. And it even carried out an attack, which the Taliban say was a rehabilitation clinic for drug users, whilst Pakistan was saying it was for militant outfits. So the Tehrik-e Taliban, you know, Pakistan's using it to achieve its own goals, when the Tehrik-e Taliban exists because of what Pakistan did in tribal areas.
But do you think Pakistan is coordinating this with the US? What I mean by that is, I remember when the Iran war happened, there were skirmishes, bombings taking place literally the day before, the night before. And I remember reading something and even speaking to some individuals who said that Pakistan is doing this on the behest of US because the Taliban basically said if it wasn't for the Pakistani army bombing us, we would be, you know, helping the Iranians. So is Pakistan helping US by essentially going to war with Afghanistan?
So look, if you take America out of the equation, if you take Iran out of the equation, let's say there's no war going on between these countries, Pakistan and Afghanistan will still be at war because Pakistan is being very unreasonable. Pakistan is making demands on Afghanistan that they should capitulate to Pakistani preferences. So they want the Taliban to stop going to India, and they want the Taliban effectively to be subordinate to Pakistan, which they were back in the day. So take America, Iran out of the equation, this problem will still be there. So there is an underlying trend. And that underlying issue Pakistan has is they feel they've lost control of the Taliban, and therefore they've lost control of Afghanistan. And their regular meetings now with India is the final straw for Pakistan. So I believe this was going to happen anyway. It was building up. In fact, there were attacks even before America invaded Iran. So this was going to happen anyway. Now, you're right. This completely falls into line with what America would like. America's been putting pressure on the Taliban. America's still got a lot of their money and their funds that they refuse to give them. America's got sanctions on them. What America wants Pakistan to do, which is what they're doing, is keep putting pressure on Afghanistan and the Taliban so they compromise, they capitulate, and effectively they become a forward base for America. Like Israel, they become the attack dog for America. So what America's trying to do is squeeze them financially, squeeze them economically, and now Pakistan is chipping in as well from its side, which is a shame because these two countries have fought with each other. Pakistan took in a lot of the Afghans when the American invasion happened, but Pakistan sided with America, did a complete U-turn, said it was in America's interest. They believe America would defeat the Taliban, so they believe we're just supporting America who's going to win. In the end, the Taliban prevailed. America lost the war. So I don't think there's like direct coordination. I think there's strategic coordination. There's at the high level, at the bigger picture coordination. But Pakistan, I think, would have done this anyway, irrespective of what's going on with America, because there is some underlying tension which is there between both countries.
Final question. In relation to these three wars, what should we be looking out for?
Well, because regarding the Iran war, I think we need to keep an eye on the number of troops America sends. And the reason why I say this is this could be a deflection. What America could be doing is focusing Iran and everyone on this Karg island and the troops going there, when actually America opens up a front somewhere else. I say this because it doesn't make sense that you put your cards on the table. You know, Trump is telegraphing what he plans to do, which is the worst thing you do in a war. In a war, you want the element of surprise. So I think the thing to watch is the number of troops and where do they really go, and keep an eye on, because there could be certain troops that are sent somewhere else. They're sent to another part of Iran. And that's really the real war. So they could be trying to fool Iran. So that's definitely, I think, something to watch. When it comes to Lebanon, I think we need to look at the US response, because Israel is effectively going to annex Lebanon, and that's not really in American interest. And I think the other thing we've got to watch is, as the Israeli general said, the army's overstretched. So I think we've got to look at Israeli society. What's their view of this new war? Because this war with Hezbollah in Lebanon will lead to Hezbollah firing into Israel, and Iran's already doing that as well. So I think definitely we've got to watch Israeli society as well. Do they turn against Netanyahu? Do they not want this? Do they want the war to end? And then finally, the main thing with Afghanistan is we got to really look at escalation. At the moment, what you've got is Pakistan firing artillery, Pakistan firing missiles and drones, and the Taliban firing artillery as well. If this continues, then it's quite contained. So I think we've got to look at, does Pakistan escalate, or does the Taliban escalate by doing other things as well? If that does happen, then it means that the war is going to another level completely. So yeah, that's what I'll be watching this week.
Adnan, thank you for your time again today. If you want to learn more about the issues raised today, please check out our website, www.thegeopolicy.com, which is all one word. You can also learn more on other issues by accessing our website, where you will find comprehensive insights, analysis, articles, and deep dives. I'm Imran. Thank you for listening.